before we look into the study this morning, let's just all bow our heads and speak to the author. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day, Lord, you've given us, or another time that you've allowed us to come to your house and gather with those of like precious faith. And we just pray that you bless the service today. Lord, just bless each part of it. Lord, those that couldn't be with us this morning, Lord, and those that are sick and afflicted, Lord, you know, each need, we just pray that you'll be with them. Lord, just help us this morning, Lord, to get ourselves out of the way, that, Lord, you may have the preeminence. Lord, bless our brother Wade who comes to bring the word to us today, Lord. Just bless each part. Lord, we just commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to look at salvation and what it means to be saved, and kind of some of the things that goes with that. And our scripture reading is 2 Samuel 22, 1 through 3. And David is speaking here. It says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." And, you know, when we look at what it means to, what salvation is, what it means to be saved, and the message, court trial, Brother Brown speaking here, he said, like we claim to be saved, he said, they say, well, show me how you're saved. My life proves I'm saved. The way I act proves whether I'm saved or not. No matter how much I testify about it here, you'll know how I live, whether I'm saved or not. He goes on, Brother Ram's talking about healing. And he says, you accept it on the same basis as you do your healing. It's by faith. And he goes on, he talks about, now the word sozo in the Greek means to be saved. And so, you know, you're saved, and he said it's just like materially saved or spiritually saved. You're saved, sozo. And he talks about people in the Bible that the woman that had the issue of blood, he was talking about her and said, your faith has saved thee. He said he saved her from a premature grave just the same. It's the same as he saves you from hell. Sozo, the same Greek word, means to be saved. Thy faith has sozo saved thee from sickness. And so the word sozo is one of the things I want to look at today. And, you know, when you look at the word, it means to be saved. It means to rescue, to deliver, to heal, or to make whole. And it also means to protect, to keep alive, preserve life, or be made whole, to rescue or deliver from danger or harm, to preserve or guard from injury, destruction, or loss. So when people talk about being saved, you know, people just want to be saved because they don't want to go to hell, but they don't want all the aspects of what it means to be saved. And a lot of people, they don't understand what it means to be saved because, you know, When you understand, a lot of people think when you, in a way of looking at salvation, people act like, you know, we owe a debt we could not pay. We owed a debt. But that debt was life or death. It's not like we owe a bill. It's not like you just owe somebody money and it's like, well, somebody paid that bill for you. No. It was a life or death situation. And so, you know, it's when you're facing that and somebody delivers you from that, just like Brother Brandon was talking about the man that was in the river. And he was talking about, you know, you got to get the man out of the river And then you got to get the river out of the man. So there was a, because when you look at being, it says to rescue. Well, when you talk about pulling somebody out, you have to realize that you're in danger, the kind of situation you were in. Because when you look at the situation that Adam and Eve was in, Adam and Eve was in a, as in the perfect environment, perfect situation. Here they are in the Garden of Eden. Everything's perfect. There's no problems. But Brother Branham said because of the choice that they made, they had a choice to make. He said they wanted to know what it was like to have wisdom. Right. Because they wanted to understand something that God hadn't brought them to yet. And so they got outside the plan of God. Well, here they are. They're in danger. Well, the next thing you know, they fall. There's this great chasm between them and God. There's a way that they can't get back. Brother Ram said they lost the eternal life, the access to eternal life. Here they are in the garden, this great place. Everything's perfect. But now they're in danger. This situation, this great chasm is between them and God. They have fallen from the condition that God put them in because of their own fault. Because of their own desires. And here he is. And he said, see, they lost their claims on eternal life in their flesh. And he said, see, here they are. And he said, the only way that keeps you and I from dying is that we have to have the same eternal life. We're in the same condition. And your brother Ram talks about that, you know, we see that they were in there because of them believing a false word. It led to their death. Because here was God, everything, don't partake of this tree. Everything else in the midst is good for you. Right. But there's this one thing that you've got to stay away from. This tree of knowledge. It's not for you. But that's what they were drawn to. The serpent came to talk to Eve about what God had said. Well, she should have known right then. Well, surely God won't let you die. Right. Why, have you considered this tree? Have you considered this tree? God said, stay away from it. That should have sealed the deal right then. That should have cleared it all up. And it's like, you know, we don't even want to get close to that. We got time to talk about that. God said, stay away from it. But see, then when she began to listen to the serpent's reasoning, oh, this is great. Look how wonderful it is. Then all of a sudden, see, then she got into a place where she was listening to the serpent's lie, and she began to partake of that when she should have stayed away from it. See, they had, and it's the same way with you and I. We have to realize the condition that we're in because of the fall, we were all put in that condition. All mankind, all creation fail. So here we are today. Brother Branham said, you know, he said, well, we want to blame Adam and Eve for the fall. You know, it's all their fault. No, it's your fault. This morning, life and death lays before you. Your choice is between life and death. You have to decide whether you're going to accept this or not. Because God judged Adam and Eve, but today he judges you and I. Amen. On our choice. Life and death lays before each one of us today. Right. And it's our choice whether we're going to accept it or not. And so when you look at this, as you see the condition, because many people don't see that, because that's the lie of the devil. Because people don't realize the condition that they're in. Because, you know, if you see the danger, just like Brother Ram talking about, you know, you see somebody that's going over the falls, you know, they're facing the falls and you're out there trying to tell them, listen, you just can't go out there and tell them, now listen, buddy, your brother, you're getting too close to the falls. You know, there's danger. No, he said you'd be out there screaming and yelling if you could, you'd get a hold of them and drag them out. Right. You ain't got time because if you see the danger there, you ain't got time to talk to them and try to convince them. You'd want to get them out.
Just like he was talking about your child playing in the road. If you saw him out there in the road, you know, you just don't go out there and say, well, Junior dear, I think you shouldn't be doing that. Well, you know, it's like me. Richard, I get to preach on Richard. I get to talk about Richard, I don't know. I told him, I said, if you ever done this, you can talk about me, but he don't get to. But you know, when I was little, you know, Richard had me putting rocks on the yellow lines in the middle of the highway. But you know, I didn't see the danger, which I don't hardly even remember this. But Brother Richard Douglas's dad, Brother Joe, he saw me. He saw the danger. And you know, he didn't have shoes on or nothing, but he saw me out there in the middle of the road. And Paul Joe just come running as hard as he could and scooped me up out of the road and took me home. But you know, it wasn't that because he didn't come out there and try to talk to me or nothing. He just saw the danger, and the first thing was he reacted to it to get me out of the way. And sometimes, you know, because God comes to us in our situation sometimes because, you know, we're unknowledgeable. We don't see the danger. We're ignorant of the things that are around us. But see, that's the reason he comes to bring us to the Word, to bring us to a knowledge of these things, to understand. Listen, God wants us to follow him. Well, I don't understand why things happen the way they do or whatever. It's like, trust God. He's got your best interest at heart. You look back over the things of life and it's like, well, you know, I wasn't smart enough to figure that out on my own. But you know, I trusted God. God came along my path when I couldn't save myself. And he was able to get me out of this situation. And it's like, you know, because the devil, he's very shrewd. He's very smart, very intelligent. And he knows what all our weaknesses are. He knows what all our problems are. And he knows how to work everything. But I'm so glad I got one I can trust. Amen. I can lean on. I put my confidence in him. But many people, you know, they just want to have this... they just want to have to be saved, but they don't want to. But they don't want it to take what it all entails, because you know it's like, well, I just want to. As Brother Branham said here, and we'll get to it maybe this morning. But you know, he talks about, you know, people want to be saved, but they don't want a Lord. They want salvation because they want to be saved from something. But you know, if you look at salvation, you know, when you talk to people, it's like you see people that need to be saved and you're trying to tell them, listen, this is, you need to be saved. And you see the condition they're in. And people say, well, I don't know what to do about this. And it's like, listen, if you get a Savior, you know, then he can lead and guide you in these things. But you got to start somewhere. You know, and just like there in the book of Acts, when they began to speak in Acts chapter 2 there, when Peter and the disciples were there, and you know, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and then when the Holy Ghost had fallen on the people, on the 120, and, you know, they began to act very odd. And, you know, they come out into the street and everybody's trying to figure out, you know, who are these people and why are they acting this way? And, you know, they thought, well, these people are full of new wine. They're just drunk. And, you know, it's like, you know, we see all these drunk people in the middle of the day. And, you know, it's become a spectacle. But, you know, Peter stood up with the 11 and he said, ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, he said, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing that but it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And he said, it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So here he goes when he's beginning to speak of these things that was taking place, and he takes them back to the Old Testament and began to show what was going to take place. And then right after this, we see that Peter drops down and he says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so people say, well, you know, we just call upon the name of the Lord. But the, you know, right after that, he begins to speak and he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by whom miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So when he comes in there and he says, but who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the next thing that is right after that, the first thing he does is Peter turns around and points them right back to Jesus. And he begins to tell them all the scripture about the things that David had written in the Psalms, and was beginning to talk about what the word that was written of Jesus Christ, and how Jesus Christ in his life, he fulfilled exactly what was prophesied of him to do. And he began to show them the hour and the day that they lived, because the word was what brought them to that place to show them what was taking place. And this is the fulfillment of Joel, because it's the outpouring, because it was the promise of the scripture. The Messiah has come, and the life that he lived would now come upon the believer. And he says, when he begins to speak of that, in verse 36, he says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So he begins to identify who he is, the position, the prophecy of the word that's taking place. Because this spectacle is taking place, but it's the fulfillment of the word of God. And he said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the disciples, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, just believe. Well, just believe on. Well, that's what he said up here. He said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it took more than that. We just believe on the Lord. And that gives us salvation. But no, if you continue in the word. Because that's what he said in John. He said, if you continue in my word, he said, then you're my disciples indeed. He said, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So you've got to continue in that. So he said, well, because I was listening to this man talk about, I don't know if y'all have ever heard this term or not, but if y'all have ever heard the term lordship salvation, but we may get into that. I'm supposed to speak Wednesday night, so we may get into a little bit of that on Wednesday, Lord willing. But when you see this, you know, because when you look at salvation is not just one part, and it's like, well, you're being free from something. No, there's more involved in salvation than just this, you know, being free from something. I've been saved. But you know, because you don't understand the full scope of what that means. So here when you're talking about calling on the name of the Lord shall be saved, and when he began to preach the word, Peter says you've got to repent. Right. So what does that mean? You've got to change the way you think, the way you look at things. Because Brother Ryan said, you've got to make a total change in your life to repent of the things that you were. And so when you say, what does it mean to repent? It means to change. I want to change my ways. Listen, I'm not where I need to be. And I'm insufficient to do the things that I have to do. I have to have somebody to lead me. Amen. I've got to have somebody to pull me out. Right. When you come to the realization, because, you know, if like that man was drowning in the river, well, if he could get himself out, he wouldn't be drowning. Amen. But when he come to the realization that he needed somebody, then somebody could come and help him. Just like Brother Raymond talking about people that you try to show people that, you know, because of the situation that they're in, it's like spiritually they're naked. They're inadequate. And it's like, well, you just tend to your own affairs. Well, if you saw somebody walking down the street, you know they're not in their right mind because they ain't got their clothes on. Right. And you try to go and help them. It's like, and Brother Ryan said, well, you just take care of your own business. Because you've got to realize that you're not in the right place. And you've got to realize the danger that you're in. Because you tell people, listen, we're not promised the rest of the day. We're not promised tomorrow. Brother Bram said, if we woke up this morning, you know, we'd outlive a lot of kids, a lot of teenagers. There's a lot of kids that won't make it through the day. We're not promised tomorrow. And if you salvate, today is the day of salvation. If you plan on being right with God, today's the day to do that. It's like, well, I'll take care of that. No, you ain't got time to take care of it later.
Right.
When you come to the place of realizing you've got to be right with God because you don't have another day. You don't know if you're going to draw another breath. When you come to the realization of how serious it is that you've got to be saved. That you've got to know that you know that you know. You've got to have everything. Because when, like Brother Ram said, when you get to the river, you don't want to have no river trouble. You don't have no problems crossing the river. You don't want to get down there and think, oh, well, you know, because the preacher or somebody said that I was okay. You've got to know that for yourself.
Amen.
There's not anybody else, because that's between you and God.
Right.
And nobody else can tell you that you're okay. See, if you repent, he said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. See, what you have to understand, see, this is from the message, Proving His Word. It says, a lot of people want Jesus to be their Savior, but not their Lord. See, Lord is ruler. Yeah. You say, Jesus, you save me and let me stand right here, and that's all right, and I'll do my own business. Now, you don't get in my business, but you can be my Savior, but not my Lord. He said, He wants to be your Lord, you see, then He's your Savior. So if you want a Savior, you've got to have a Lord. Because that's the only way that it works. Because as we were talking about the man drowning in the river, you know, the if anybody ever looked at, you know, being a lifeguard or people that do that kind of work, you know, you've got to get people when you're a lifeguard and you jump in and you're trying to save somebody. If you're doing a water rescue and you're in there trying to get somebody, you got to get that person to cooperate with you.
Right.
Because if they are uncooperative, because if they're just flailing in the water and they're panicking, you can't save them.
Right.
Because, you know, you can give them your flotation device and you tell them to help. But you know what? If they get a hold of you and they're not calm and they don't have confidence in you, they'll drown you. You can't save them. So the thing is you've got to get to the place where you have confidence in this person. That you, hey, I can get you out. And you got to want to. If anybody's ever been in that situation where, you know, you're down below the water and you're trying to get out and you can't breathe and you're ready to get anybody, you just tell me what to do and we'll do it. I'll cooperate with you. But you know, you got to be in that situation where you want to.
Right.
And see, when you're able to do that, you give the lifeguard, when he gets in the water, then he can help you. And many times it's like, listen, all you got to do is rest and relax.
Yeah.
and trust in him. And then, you know, that person can get you out.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, you're hanging on, and all of a sudden they're doing the work. They get you out because they know what they're doing. It's like lots of times people get caught in riptides. It's like, well, I'm a good swimmer. I think I can do this. Until you get in water that's faster than you, stronger than you.
Amen. Right.
And people don't know how to get out because they'll go the wrong way. Because they think, well, I'm just going to go in this direction. But the only way but if you're going to get out of a riptide, you got to go perpendicular to the force. Right. If it's pulling you one way, you got to try to get out. Because many people, they want to go the opposite direction. And that's not going to work. But see, if you know those things, but you got to know what direction to get out.
Right.
But see, if somebody's there to help you, then they can get you in the right direction. But right. You've got to have somebody that can show you to do that. Yeah. And I want to finish with this. This is from Romans chapter 10. Verse 11 says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." He said, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." He said, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So when we see this scripture here, see, you have to hear the word.
Right.
And somebody has to bring you the word.
Right.
And who can, if you don't hear the word, then how can you believe?
Right.
And somebody's got to be sent to bring the word to you. And you've got to hear the word and believe the word.
Amen.
And so it takes the word being spoken. And so somebody's got to come and bring the word to you for you to understand and believe the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And so we understand that if we see that the word has come, then it's for us to believe it. And thank God we have a ministry that brings the word to us.
Amen.
But you know,
amen.
But like Brother Bram said, you know, if you can't preach a sermon, then live a sermon.
Yeah.
And that's what God wants us to do.
Amen.
We're that living, breathing instrumentality of Jesus Christ, showing the world who Jesus Christ is, not some idea. Not what somebody else thinks, but a real, true, living experience of Jesus Christ. Because, you know, there's a lot that can be spoke on, and we'll have the musicians will come now. But, you know, there's a lot of people that want to talk about a lot of things, but you know what? You can't argue with a life lived when you see that true experience. Because... And that's what people, they might argue the scripture, but they can't when they see a life lived, mm-hmm. when they see a true experience. And that's what my desire is to see,
yes.
to show people that people can see Jesus Christ in us, not just some idea.
Amen.
That they may see Jesus Christ in all of us.
Yes.
Amen. Well, God bless you this morning.
Amen.